Fastamai, good evening. I'm Chanel Suku. This week marks Deaf Awareness Week, and the theme this year is Beyond Silence. Now, that theme aims to break barriers and advocate for accessibility. One way the Manx Deaf Society tackle breaking barriers is by hosting a Hearing Off Awareness On experience in Douglas earlier this year. So what exactly was it? Well, four teams of two were sent into the high street with the opportunity to experience the day-to-day ordinary life of what it's like for someone who does not have full hearing. Armed with instructions of what to do along their journey, one member was hearing while the other had on earplugs and ear defenders. So how did that go? Well, let's take a listen to my journey. I partnered up with Vanessa Smith.
I think if you're a hearing person, you just take it for granted. But all the cues that come to you through your ears, to be without them, the world must be very different. So I'm interested to see how different.
Right, so we need to cross, and I can't hear any vehicles. I can see them, but I can't hear anything.
Okay, I think we're clear. I feel very protective of you.
Okay.
I feel very protective of you, like if you get hit by a car on my shift.
I'm sure we should be fine. What do you think your experience when you have the ear defenders on is going to feel like?
I don't know. I guess you've got to be much more aware of everything else. What does it feel like for you?
I'm a bit more comfortable because I've got someone else with me.
Right.
So I know I don't have to, you know, keep looking around. But I think if it was just me on my own, I would have been a bit more panicked. Do you feel as though your senses are a bit more heightened because you've got someone?
I feel more responsible for you. And I suppose thinking about it, if you had a problem with your vision, it's more obvious, isn't it? But when it's with your hearing, it feels like maybe people wouldn't realise.
Yeah. I've just heard the first car sound, and that was that blue car. I haven't been able to hear any cars.
What about that one going past there?
No, I can hear that one. It's just, you know, that...
That was much closer. That car was much closer to you than the one that you heard.
Yeah. And even Hugh, you sound... Even though you're next to me, it sounds
muffled.
As though you're at a distance.
How strange.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting when you've got
it on.
On to task number one now, where I have to ask for directions. Still with my ear defenders on. Right. Can I get directions to... The Noah Market.
You want to keep going down the street this way?
Right.
Just keep walking, past Marks and Spencer's. When you get to Starbucks, cross over.
Yeah.
Then you've got, keep going, you've got the library on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Cross over the road there. Keep going down until you physically cannot walk any further.
Okay. And there's you're going too fast for
Sorry.
Me. Because, no, that's perfect, because that's what this experiment's
yeah.
about. Just because you're going really quick, I'm trying to, you know...
Yeah.
So
it's also because you're not looking at me, it confuses me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right. Sorry, so library crossover.
Yeah. Keep going down.
Right.
On the right-hand side at the end of that road, there's a red brick building.
2 seconds. Right-hand yeah. side. Sorry.
A red brick building on the corner.
Yeah.
That's where you're looking for.
Okay. Is it a busy traffic area?
Fairly. Yeah. But obviously you've got crossing points, so you're perfectly safe.
Mission complete, and it was time for coffee and a chat while we both had ear defenders on. During the break, I found myself looking at Vanessa's mouth to understand what she was saying, and I had to switch out all the other noises outside just to concentrate on her. After that chat, it was Vanessa's turn now to stay with the earplugs and the ear defenders while I was the hearing partner. Let's take a listen to how that went.
I also pretty much can't hear anything around me. I can hear your voice when you talk to me, but... In some ways it's nicer, it's quiet. I can think.
You're also walking slower. Is it because I'm walking slower, or are you just a bit more cautious?
maybe I am walking slower because I'm thinking about everything.
What's going through your mind?
Yeah. I need to be careful. I need to look more.
You've got
definitely
people,
strange.
You've got people coming in front of you.
Yeah.
Is this what you expected? I know earlier you said it would be easy.
I think it's more intense.
Now it's on to the sea terminal where we all met back for a debrief.
I think it would have been really much more isolating if you were by yourself and if you were profoundly deaf and you couldn't hear anything. I mean, like we both felt we could feel our footsteps and hear our footsteps.
You can hear
yourself, maybe whether that's through the body rather than through the ears. But it was just reassuring to have someone with you who you knew could hear through your eyes.
I was struck by how if you had been born without the sense of hearing, that would be completely different to having lost your hearing.
Mm.
Because if you've lost your hearing, you know what you should be expecting.
Mm.
If you were born with either partial or full impairment, you wouldn't know what you're missing if you
and that makes a difference. You know, if you're going into a shop to ask for something,
yeah,
and you know your speech is clear.
Yeah.
But I have a very good friend who's totally deaf, has no auditory nerve,
yeah,
and therefore she had to learn to speak. And so the word vegetable,
yeah,
she used to say veget able, and we'd go no, and she hadn't realised that it was a
vegetable,
j, instead of a g, and
really
things like that. You have to build it up and then remember it.
When we were in the cafe having coffee, what I found, because it was a confined space, I found it quite confusing because we were all having our own separate conversations, and I had to really concentrate to listen and to understand what Lady Lorimer was saying.
Mm.
So it made it more intense because you've got that distraction of you know, not hearing what other people are saying, but just there's that like white noise of just other people, and so I had to be able to understand what she was saying. I had to really concentrate and I was conscious of staring at you as well, because I don't think people are quite uncomfortable with that, but it kind of
and using looking at the mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at eye contact.
No.
I was just looking at the mouth.
Absolutely, looking at the mouth, because that may give you a clue when you miss
a word. Yeah.
We had a funny story when we came out of the cafe, and I said, "Oh, we're walking along," and of course you don't know if you're shouting, do you? So I can't hear what you're saying. I can't see you. And a guy was walking the other way, and he said, I didn't hear any of this, but he said, obviously, I was meant to pick it up, but I didn't. Should have gone to Specsavers.
So let's hear from other participants about their own experience, starting off with my partner, Vanessa.
So I think with the first half, because I still had my hearing, I was trying to anticipate what you could and couldn't hear. So we had a lot of exchanges initially about, did you hear that, you know, and so I was more conscious of you than me. And then, because for the second half I was non-hearing, it was quite a shock. I think it was a bigger shock, really, just how vulnerable I felt.
There was a point where I started asking you questions. I think we did our own mini experiment, and I said, if someone had to tap you on the back of the shoulder, would you turn and be afraid? Or if someone was in front of you and immediately pointed behind you, how would you react? And how did you react to both of those scenarios?
So I recall saying to you, if it was during the day and I was on the Isle of Man and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, I'd be okay with that. If it was dark and I was in a big city on my own, I would be quite terrified. So I think it's context. And I also think it makes a difference that I, even if I lost my hearing now, I have been hearing,
and then would have lost my hearing. I can't imagine how frightening potentially it would be if you didn't, if you never had any hearing, and you'd always just been without. So when you stood in front of me and pointed at something behind me, I turned around to look. In a normal circumstance, I probably wouldn't. I probably would have said to you, what? And wouldn't have actually physically turned around. I think the other thing that struck me was that in general, humour is more difficult when you can't hear properly, and you don't pick up on the inflections in people's words, so that nuance isn't there.
And I also noticed that you kept watching the area, especially when we were near a busy road. When we were walking through Strand Street, you were looking at the people, but you were a bit more relaxed. But once we got to that busy road area coming up towards the sea terminal, you kept looking, you know, at all different directions. And I think it was a good space before you had to cross, but you stopped and turned immediately just to make sure that it was safe for you to cross.
Yeah, I think the lack of traffic noise is alarming. And we were talking a little bit, I remember us talking about electric cars and how potentially dangerous they are if you did have any hearing impairment, because it's amazing how much we rely on that sense of not just what is close to us that could potentially harm us, but that is in our environment.
There was a positive that you picked up on the island while we were doing this experiment, though.
Yeah, so it was just when we were talking about trying to identify the sounds that we could hear, the crossing, the road pedestrian crossing beeping noise, the pitch of that just cut through. So even despite the earplugs and the ear defenders, you could still very clearly hear that. So that was really interesting. So it's obviously been carefully chosen.
I also chatted to Sir John and Lady Lorimer.
Yes, and I think the importance of understanding that deafness is an invisible disability. And of course, somebody, you may be engaging with someone who is deaf, but you just wouldn't know that. And particularly if you're not projecting your voice, or you're looking down, or you're looking away, and that may cause some real challenges. And I think that was useful. My father was quite deaf, and I'm deaf in 1 year, both of us, from military service. And therefore, I suppose I have probably a little bit more understanding about it. But I think it's a really good way of highlighting the challenges, and therefore becoming more cognizant of those challenges that people have to put up with a daily basis.
You just don't feel normal. You can't hear things from behind. I couldn't hear the cars very well. So I had to really watch crossing the road. And we were only partially deaf. We could hear some things. It must be much worse if you are totally deaf. I think I would have felt nervous. I think I gained confidence from the fact that I had a partner there who was also looking out for me not to being squashed. I felt okay asking for directions and asking to buy something, and the shop staff were very kind, and I think, you know, you would get used to it. But for this experiment, it was nice to have a partner.
Did it at any point make you conscious of other people around you?
I felt slightly self-conscious wearing the big ear defenders because people were staring. And also perhaps when you're ordering something and you're taking time because you're asking people to repeat and there's a queue building up, and you could feel under pressure then.
Through this experiment, what does it show or does it highlight the plight of those with hearing difficulties and what they face? I know it's something that we all think about and understand, but after going through it yourself, you kind of feel as though you understand it a little bit better?
Yes, I think so. I was at university and one of my best friends is totally deaf. So I think probably I'm more aware than other people about how you need to look at the person. Even if you're talking to somebody else, you still need to face the deaf person. But it was good. I wish I'd done it then rather than, you know, 40 years later.
I used to have to ring an organisation in London and ask them to get a telex machine working in Caroline's house. So I would say, I want to ring Caroline, and could you pass this message that I want to meet in Waterloo Station on Thursday at lunchtime? And they would say, oh, yes, just a moment. And then they'd type it all out. And then Caroline, it would alarm in her house, and she'd type back saying, oh, that's fine, Philippa, I'll see you then. And now you don't need any of that. It was quite awkward. You couldn't ask her, you know, how she was feeling, because you have another person in the middle of this conversation, and it felt awkward. Now you can text, email, use apps that turn it into words for her as you talk. And so it's easy now, much easier.
And now let's hear from some of the organisers. Lucy Buxton is the CEO of the Manx Deaf Society. Caroline Turner is the chairman of the society, while Chris Smith is a road safety manager.
It was just a pride when I come in to see them, and I realised, oh, wow. Yeah. I think they do understand how they're feeling in that too. Yeah.
Lucy, with this being the first event of this kind, how did this idea come about? What was the need for this?
We've been thinking about doing something like this for some time. Hearing loss is a hidden disability. You don't know easily that someone has hearing loss. You can often see if someone has mobility issues, because they might have an aid, they might be in a wheelchair or use a walker. They might, if they have sight loss, they might be using a cane or have a guide dog. But for a lot of people with hearing loss, there is no visible, easy to see notice that, you know, someone has hearing loss. And we wanted to raise that with the general public. We also wanted people to start to understand what it is like, you know, for life as us, you know, as Carolyn has said, a lot of profoundly deaf people, and actually people with sometimes moderate hearing loss, do start to feel concerned about going out. They become worried about traffic. They become worried about interactions in shops and cafes. Will they be able to hear? Will they feel silly if they can't understand? So it's giving that awareness to other people, and also to shops themselves. You know, what can you do to make yourself be more deaf friendly? Have assistants who look at you, who talk to the customer. Life today is very busy and a lot of people are in a rush. We see that on the prom. So one of the challenges was for people to cross the prom using one of the informal crossings. So those are the ones that are not a zebra crossing or a pelican or other sort of crossing where, you know, you have to press a button and the traffic is forced to stop. How confident do you feel? And generally within the group, people were saying, they felt more confident because they had somebody who could hear with them, someone they could rely on just to check that everything was fine. As Carolyn was saying, deaf people, we use our eyes an awful lot. We are very aware and alert of what is going on in front of us and to the side. But that coming from behind, you can feel quite unwary. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to just be, you know, a noisy car travelling up. It could be someone walking a dog on a long lead and suddenly this dog is coming up behind you and it makes you jump. You don't feel comfortable and relaxed. So it was giving that experience to the people today. And I think they all said they enjoyed it, but they all did say that it made them think much more carefully and use their other senses.
I'm a retired police officer, and I now work in road safety. So doing this today, it was good to be out of my comfort zone. And doing it, it was really discomforting, because you feel isolated because you can't hear everything that's going around. You can see in front and to the side, but you can't behind. And it was a little bit like when I was in the police, you're in that heightened state the whole time. And actually I found it was quite tiring doing the whole journey because you're using other senses. If people are standing at crossings or just maybe for other road users to take that into consideration, that you know, and the ability when you're speaking to people. I was really nervous asking for directions. I'm normally a very confident person because of, you know, the job and stuff that I've done. But I was very, very conscious asking for directions. And I actually found myself apologising because I was asking somebody to communicate with me in a slightly different way.
Now, with road policing, have you had any experiences where you had to help someone with hearing loss or someone from the deaf community?
Years ago, yes. I'm from the northeast of Scotland, and I was in the traffic. It's really difficult when you're dealing with somebody who has a hearing impairment because you have to communicate differently. Dealing with motorists that have hearing impairment is really difficult, and I kept them in the car and had the window down, but I had to face them when I was speaking to them just so that they could understand what I was saying. So yeah, it's communicating in a different way.
My personal experience with my hearing loss is my husband and I did essentially stop going out together at one point because there was no point going out for dinner, because we would go out, we'd sit at the table, I couldn't be confident I could hear what the serving staff would be telling me were the specials for the day or what was on the menu, so I'd leave it to him. He would sort of, you know, make decisions for me, which I was letting him do because I couldn't make the decision because I couldn't hear what they were saying. The food would come, we couldn't eat because I can't lip read when he's eating, so we didn't have, you know, during the meal conversation, and then it'd be, well, should we go home now? And it's one of the most miserable experiences, so we stopped doing it. Now I've got some other equipment that I work with. I have a personal amplifier, which is like a very sophisticated microphone that I can have. And it means that I'm much more confident at understanding what is going on around me. And one of the things the Deaf Society does is we have this free to loan equipment library. So you can try out different pieces of equipment that, you know, might be useful to you either at work or in your social life, again, to give you that bit of life back so you're not feeling as isolated, because mental health issues amongst deaf people and people with hearing loss are generally much higher than in the fully hearing community, so that it is something we're aware of. And we want people to get out and about. Now, it's about 1 in 6 of the population have some degree of hearing loss. In terms of British Sign Language users, there are probably about 10 people on the island who use British Sign Language as a first language. There are lots of other people, bit like me, who will use some sign language at times. COVID was a big learning experience for lots of people. We all stayed in, we all stayed at home. For a lot of people, that was a great thing, because if you don't have to go out and interact with people, you're on your own. That's how an awful lot of deaf people experience life. We resorted to online shopping. Brilliant. I don't have to worry about, am I going to be able to have that conversation at the checkout? The downside of COVID was mask wearing. So if you are a lip reader, then as soon as somebody puts on a mask, it makes the ability to follow what somebody else is saying so much harder. And I was talking with colleagues in audiology, and they were saying they saw a huge uplift in the number of people referring into audiology or being referred by their GP to audiology, because they hadn't realised that they were relying so much on lip reading. It's not until the ability to read the mouth and to look at the facial expressions was taken away that people realised that they were having an issue with their hearing. On average, it's about 7 to 10 years before somebody addresses an issue with their hearing. We would say the sooner you do something about it, the better. Lots of us assume that it is down to people not speaking clearly, children's voices, teenagers mumble, actors on the telly, well, you know, they don't speak like they used to. Those can all be factors, but also it could possibly be an issue with your own hearing. Now, here on the island, if you are over 50, you can go online and you can complete a self-referral form straight into audiology. Under 50, you have to go through your GP. There are certain conditions that you have to meet to be able to self-refer, but it makes that whole process a lot easier. And the sooner you do something or address that hearing loss, the better life can be for you. The other thing that I really should point out is if somebody notices a significant change to their hearing suddenly, then rather than waiting to see the GP or filling in the online referral form, they should go straight to A&E and get that checked out.